The 4th, January 1992. This is our last talk in this retreat. Tomorrow we won't give any talk. This is the last talk. Today, I will deal with the brief explanation of the progress of insight. How a yogi develop his concentration as well as insight and make progress, and step by step, stage by stage of our insight knowledge. This progress of insight I'll deal with in accordance with description and Visuddhimagga, and in the progress of insight written by the Venerable Sri Mahasi Siyaro, but it will be very brief explanation because I will finish it in an hour's time. I had explained you how a meditator attained the insight knowledge of a discerning materiality and mentality, Namarupa Prichira Jnana, and how a meditator realizes the cause and effect, discerning conditionality, Pachya Praigaha Jnana, and our meditator clearly comprehends the three existence of the three characteristics of existence, anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent suffering, impersonal nature of body mind process. When you before you attained the insight knowledge of a discerning materiality and mentality, you have to acquire purification of a mind, citta, visuddhi. Then to obtain purification of a mind, citta, visuddhi, as a basic requirement, so you have to attain the purification of a virtue of morality, sila visuddhi, by observing precepts. So the first visuddhi is sila visuddhi, purification of morality or virtue. The second is citta visuddhi, purification of a mind. Citta visuddhi, purification of a mind, can be attained by samatha meditation by means of upacara samadhi, excessive concentration, and jhana samadhi, absorption concentration, apna samadhi. This purification can be attained by pure vipassana meditator by means of momentary concentration, khanika samadhi. When the mind is well concentrated on each object of a mental and physical process, then the mind becomes purified from defilements and hindrances to a large extent. Then the insight knowledge that arises together with the concentrated mind becomes a penetrating and sharp and clear. It begins to realize material, the specific characteristic of our materiality and mentality, and distinguishes between mental process and physical process. Then that stage of jnana is called nama rupa parichheda jnana, insight knowledge, which discerns materiality and mentality. That jnana purifies meditator of the false view of a personality, individuality, self or soul. So at this stage of jnana, we call it a purification of a view. His view is purified because he has no false view of a personality, individuality, self or soul regarding the mental process or physical process which is observed at that moment. But he is not yet able to uproot this false view. It's only when he is realizing materiality and mentality and their true nature that he can destroy the false view of a personality, individuality, self or soul. So this stage of insight knowledge is called a purification of view, ditti visuddhi. Then when he proceeds with his practice, concentration becomes deeper, mindfulness becomes more and more constant and sustained, that the inside knowledge becomes penetrating, that he realizes the nature of a conditionality, the nature, the law of a cause and effect. This knowledge purifies the meditators, a meditator's mind from the skeptical doubts about whether he existed in the past or whether he is existing in the present or whether he will be exist in the future. When we realize as a cause and effect, say because of this rising movement, so there's the mind that notes it. Because there's a falling movement, there arises the mind that notes it. The object is the cause and the noting mind, the subject is an effect. Because there's movement on the foot, then there arises the mind that notes it. The movement of the foot, the object, physical process, is the cause. And then the mind that notes it, effect, mental process. And when we are able to realize the intention before some action or every action or movement, you come to realize these movements are not done by me or by a person, by a being. These movements or actions arises dependent on its cause, that's intention. So intention causes these movements or actions to arise. Then when there is an intention to lift the foot and the foot is lifted, when there is an intention to push it forward, then the foot is pushed forward. When there is the intention to drop it down, the foot is dropped down. When there is an intention to press it, then the foot is pressed. In this way, all the movements of the foot is done by the intention, not by me or a person, a being. Then, in the same way, when we observe any other mental process or physical process, he comes to realize the cause and effect. Then, that insight knowledge which realizes cause and effect has destroyed the skeptical doubt he has about his existence as a person in the past, or his existence as a person in the present. His existence as a person, the future. What he can judge here is that there's no person, no being, no I or you who does lift a movement, push a movement, drop a movement, and so on. What really does these movements and action is the intention. Intention is neither a person nor being, nor is neither a self nor a soul. He judges that. Then he has no doubt about the existence of a so-called a person, a being, in the past, the present, and the future. He clearly sees there's no so-called person or being, self or soul in the world. What really exists is the nature of our cause and effect. So this insight knowledge which discerns conditionality, discerns conditionality is called Kankha Vitrana Visuddhi, or is called Pachya Prigahanyana, insight knowledge that discerns conditionality. So at this stage, we have attained the purification by overcoming doubt, Kankha Vitrana Visuddhi. Then he proceeds with the practice, he is able to comprehend all three aspects of our existence, all three characteristics of our existence, anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, suffering, and also no self nature of a mental and physical process. At this stage, he has to suffer a great deal of pain, but he can observe it. There are a lot of pains. Whenever the pain arises, he observes it. While he is observing this pain, another pain arises. Then he observes the another pain. In this way, he has to deal with many painful sensations. Then, with a deeper concentration, persistently and perseveringly, he observes the pain so that he can penetrate, he said, noting my penetrates into the insight of the pain. So then he comes to realize the impermanence of the painful sensation. Knowing one wave suffer after another of painful sensation after another, arising and passing away, arising and passing away. Sometimes he finds it as a pulsation, as a form of a pulsation. One pulsation arises and then pass away. Sometimes he finds the one weight of a half feeling arising and then passing away. In this way, in many ways, he finds the painful sensation appearing and disappearing. He comes to realize a nature. In this way, he comes to realize the other mental and physical process arising and passing away. So he judges every mental or physical process is subject to impermanence. So it's a suffering. It's a suffering means they are constantly oppressed by constant arising and passing away of phenomena. So they are suffering. Then because they are impermanent, they are no person, no being, no self or no soul, no soul. Then when he proceeds with his practice, gradually the pain becomes subsided, even though he feels, even if he feels painful sensation, it's not very strong. When he notes that it goes away in a short time. And also, he can distinguish one movement from the other movements of rising, falling, and so on. In this way, he comes to realize many series of many broken movements of rising and falling. He begins to realize appearance and disappearance of physical process. Sometimes he sees the notama as impermanent, as appearance and disappearance. Then when he has got over this knowledge of comprehension, gradually he feels a comfort and happy because there's almost no pain at all. And he's sitting, let's say, and he's walking. Even though the pain arises not very strong, he notices that it has gone away. Because there's no disturbances in the mind becomes more and more concentrated. When it's more deeply concentrated, then he feels happy, then he feels rapture. Because of a deep concentration, the noted mind becomes clearer, penetrating. So every object can be noted very easily. The objects also arise as to be noted of its own accord. He need not put any effort in the noting. The object of a right physical process or mental process arises, and then the mind very readily, easily notes it. Then it is a go away. Then another object arises, then the mind notes it. In this way, he do not make intense effort to note any object. So his effort becomes balanced and steady. It's neither lax nor tense. That's why he feels peace, happy and peaceful, and happy and rapture. Then he is a knowledge of noticing the object and realizing it also sharp, lucid and clear. Then it realizes every object, and the object right passes away. Because of a deep concentration and clear insight, and sometimes he sees in his mind a bright light, a shining light. Sometimes it's like a radiance of the sun or the moon. Sometimes he sees glorious light. He knows and note it, seeing, or light. Then the light disappears. When his concentration is not deep enough and insight knowledge is not penetrating enough, the light he sees is vague and faint, not very bright. This light for some persons lasts very instantly. For some persons it lasts long, sometimes about 1 minute or 30 seconds. Some of the meditators has this light a very, very long time. In this sitting, he see it, he notes it, but it doesn't disappear. Then another sitting, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. He has to note seeing this light. Then he is disappointed by this light because he could not know any other object of a meditation. Most of a meditators has somewhat bright light, not last very long. Then it comes in. Notes it and goes away. Then he has more, there's a stronger faith in the technique and also triple gems, because he has experience which is not experienced by him before. And also, these experiences are also very good. He hasn't experienced such a happiness, peacefulness, rapture, and his worldly life. Even if he is a billionaire and a successful businessman, he can't experience such a happy and peaceful experience. Do you think you can have? No. So, he has a strong faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and the Triple Gems. Because he believes very firmly in the Triple Gems and also this Dhamma he has practiced. He is practicing. He wants to urge the other people to practice Dhamma. Sometimes he feels that everybody in the world should practice this Dhamma, mindfulness and meditation, because he himself experiences such good enemies. How say? Good enemies. They are good, but they are not friends. Because they are good, you enjoy it. Even though you are instructed not to enjoy it, to note it, you can't help enjoying it. Then you are attached to it. Then you are clinging to it. Then you can't go up the higher stages for insight. You stop there. Why? Because your enemies hindered you to make progress, to go ahead. So these are called good enemies. They are of 10 types. But I need not explain to you 10 types. I explain to you some of them which is common to all meditators. They are called vipassanupakilesa. Vipassanupakilesa in Pali. It is translated into the 10 corruptions of insight by Jnanaponika Thera and also by Jnanamoli Thera, I think. The 10 corruptions of insight. They corrupted. This is the 10 corruptions of insight arise in some yogis or fully, but for some of the yogis, say two or three kinds of corruptions arise. But the light usually arises in almost all meditators, but sometimes this light is weak. So for some meditator it's weak, so for some meditator it's very powerful, bright, and last long. It varies. This takes place at the earlier part of the fourth jnana, insight knowledge of arising and passing away of mentality and physicality. That's the fourth jnana. And in the earlier part of this jnana, these 10 corruptions arise. Then, because the meditator has some knowledge of these 10 corruptions, or because he is instructed by his teacher to not to be attached to them and not to enjoy them, but to observe them persistently and perseveringly, then he observes, seeing, when he sees light, seeing. When he feels happy, happy. When he feels rapture, and so on. Every good enemy arising is noted. Then, when he notes it, it goes away, disappear in a short time. In this way, he passed over this knowledge. This part of the fourth knowledge, earlier part of the fourth knowledge, then his mind becomes stable and more concentrated on the object. The objects are also ready to be noted. Then the mind notes very easily because of a deep concentration and clear insight. The rising movement and falling movement arises one after another and passes away. When he notes pain, the painful sensation, the pain very instantly, it's noted very instantly passes away. In this way he comes to realize appearance and disappearance of a mental and physical phenomena which is observed. So this is called insight knowledge of arising and passing away of a mental and physical phenomena. Then when he proceeds with his deep concentration by maintaining his both mindfulness and concentration and as well as insight, then gradually the insight knowledge becomes more penetrating, sharp and clear. Then it realizes when it notes the itching sensation, say, then the mind doesn't realize the beginning of an itching sensation or appearance of itching sensation. It knows the disappearance of it. Whenever the mind notes the rising, falling, or itching, or painful sensation, anything, that what he notes is just disappearance. Even it doesn't know the arising of the object. So whenever he notices, then he finds it disappearing or dissolution. So this by sometimes every mental process, physical process which is arising, when he notes all process are disappearing, dissolution. Then sometimes his mind doesn't have any physical or mental process to note. All things are dissolution and the mind sees nothingness. Then he had to note the mind, knowing, because it knows appearance, the dissolution of all mental and physical process, and there's nothing to note. So that mind has to be noted, knowing. He has lost the sense of his bodily form. What he is knowing is there's the mind which knows the nothing. Then he has to note knowing. Sometimes this knowing mind together with the noting mind has disappeared a fraction of a second. Then it comes up and knows the nothing. Then the mind knows nothing, and knowing, and so on. This is state of mindfulness. This is state of inside knowledge is called bhayanyana, knowledge of dissolution. This is the fifth one. The fourth one is uddiyabhayanyana, knowledge of arising and passing away of a mental and physical phenomena. The 61 is insight, knowledge of a dissolution. Then, whatever he notes, he finds it disappearing. Whatever he notes, he finds dissolution. Then, the meditator feels all are fearful because nothing lasts even a second, a millionth of a second. Everything is disappearing, disappearing, disappearing. So it's very fearful. All these mental and physical process are fearful, dreadful. That stage of jnana is called inside knowledge of fearfulness. Sometimes it's called awareness of fearfulness. Bhaya jnana in Pali. But here, for many meditators, they seem feels fearful. They seems yes, they feels fear and being afraid of something. But when he was asked what he is afraid of, he has no reason to be afraid or to fear. Then without no reason, he feels fear. Actually, he thought mental and physical process disappearing as a fearfulness. So, this is called insight knowledge of a fearfulness, bhaya jnana. Because he feels both mental and physical process disappearing, fearful, then he becomes miserable because he has nothing to enjoy. He has nothing to be attached to. So he feels miserable. Sometimes he feels homesick. Homesick. Actually, he doesn't feel homesick, but as if he feels homesick because of this knowledge which takes everything as miserable, every mental and physical process to be miserable. This knowledge is called knowledge of misery, adinavajnana in Pali. Adinavajnana. Then, when he practiced, when he continued to observe every mental or physical process arising at the moment, then not very long he comes to feel boredom. He's not happy. He feels always miserable. So he, as if he is idle or lazy, and also he has no place to stay. As if he feels he has no place to stay or to live or to go. Before he practices this meditation, he likes cinema very much to enjoy. But now at that stage, even though he is threatened to go to cinema, he won't go. So, this knowledge called knowledge of boredom, nibbidha jnana, But this knowledge is translated into inside knowledge of disgust. Disgust, because he is disgusted with every mental and physical process which is very disappearing whenever he notes it. So it's translated into inside knowledge of disgust by the Venerabhanyana Ponika. But this also can be such knowledge of boredom. When he feels as if he feels lazy, if he is asked to not to practice meditation and to lie down his bed and sleep, he couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. Yes, after that he proceeds with his practice. Then he has attained the insight knowledge of reobservation. Because he feels miserable, he feels fearful about this mental and physical process, so he reviews or reobserves his mental and physical process. Then at this stage, the meditator has to confront, can I use this word, confront the dreadful pain, aching, stiffening, itching. The pain is so severe, he thinks he may not be able to observe it. But he could. When observed, though the pain severe, he can note it, he can observe it very attentively. Then the pain becomes disintegrated, sometimes dispersed, sometimes exploded. But the pain doesn't disappear, it comes again. He notes, then it disappears, it comes again. In this way, he has to face this a lot of pain which is tense and very tense and severe. But whenever he notes that it disappeared, then he come to realize impermanence of the feeling or sensation, painful sensation or painful feeling. Then he come to realize that being oppressed by constant arising and passing away of the phenomena, dukkha, suffering, more clearly see it. Then he come to see more and more clearly impersonal nature of all mental and physical phenomena because they are constantly arising and passing away. This knowledge, this inside knowledge is called insight knowledge of reobservation. But when persistently observe this any mental process, physical process, including pains, then gradually he passed over this stage of knowledge, and then he feels, he sees the phenomenon arising, passing away, arising, passing away. Whatever he notes, he sees it as arising, passing away. Then the mind becomes extremely concentrated on the object. But because the mind is extremely concentrated on the object, the mind, the insight knowledge, sees everything as appearance and disappearing, rising and passing away, calmly and concentratedly and tranquilly. But he is neither happy nor unhappy. But he sees every mental and physical phenomenon which is observed as appearance and disappearance, constant appearance and disappearance. It's in this stage of inside knowledge that you can't send out your mind to any object which is desirable for you. Even though you send out the mind to any object you like best, it doesn't go. Then inside knowledge, the mind becomes elastic. Can I use this word? Elastic. Even though you push it to the mind to the object you desire most, it doesn't go, it comes back again. As if you throw a ball at the wall. Very good stage of inside knowledge. It's called inside knowledge of equanimity. The meditator feels neutral about the formations, mental process or physical process. So it's called the inside knowledge of equanimity about the formations. Sankharupakkhaññāna, it's called. This is the 11th stage of inside knowledge. This knowledge is the best one of all 13 knowledge, inside knowledge. Then you are not reluctant, you feel not reluctant, you feel not lazy, you feel not hurry up, but as you observe whatever arises in your body and mind, you can sit on 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Concentration is very, very deep. The mind doesn't go out. When you walk, you see every movement of the foot very clearly arising and passing away. Sometimes you lost the sense of the form, the shape of the foot. What you are feeling, what you are realizing is just a feeling of a movement or just movements. Then, because your effort becomes neither less nor tense, so mindfulness becomes steady, balanced. Then concentration becomes deep enough. So gradually you go forward very rapidly. Then the concentration, the object arising, the object that mental and physical process, sometimes very quickly arising and then very quickly passes, but you can note it. Sometimes you feel it flickering because very swift rising in person with a mental and physical phenomenon appears to him as a flickering. And in this way, he comes to attain the stage of inside knowledge that is called inside knowledge of adaptation. And also this jnana is called insight leading emergence. That means from formations. Insight knowledge of adaptation means it. Until this knowledge of, until this knowledge, inside knowledge, he is an ordinary man or ordinary person, a puttojana, we call it puttojana. After he has passed this jnana and another one very instantly, then he gets into the noble one, Ariyapugala. So this jnana adapts Puttojana to be in conformity with the quality of Ariya Jnana too, it's called adaptation, knowledge of adaptation. But after it, he passed this jnana, he attained another jnana, maturity knowledge. This is a borderline. Borderline between Puthojana, ordinary person, and Ariya Pugala, noble one. When he passed this borderline, his note in mind, he feels as if it drops to a certain state of a mental or physical process. That is called Magajnana. The text says at this stage of jnana, the mind abides in Nibbana, taking Nibbana as its object. Then after that, another consciousness arises and abides in the Nibbana. This is called fruition knowledge. In this way, he has attained Magajnana and Phalajnana, path knowledge and fruition knowledge. Then after he has attained fruition knowledge, he reviews about his experiences. He has come through all the course of a meditative practice. And also he reviews whether he has destroyed any mental defilements or not, whether he has attained the cessation of suffering Nibbana or not. Then he come to realize, say, if he has attained the first part knowledge, the first stage of enlightenment, by reviewing his experience, he come to realize he has destroyed the false view of personality, individuality. Not he has destroyed, he has uprooted, exterminated the false view of a personality, individuality, Sakkaya deity, the deity. And also, he come to realize that he has eradicated the skeptical doubt about the triple gems. It's called vichikicca. The false view of a personality, individuality is called Sakkaya deity, the deity. The skeptical doubt about the triple gem is called vichikicca. So, the scriptures and the commentary to it said, this, the first noble one who has attained the first path knowledge and fruition knowledge has uprooted deity and vichikicca, Sakkaya deity and vichikicca. Because he has destroyed, uprooted the false view of a personality, individuality, self or soul, he has no gross defilement which make him to be reborn, and the four states of our lower world, that's called Niriya, Ngaye, Dresam, Jeta, Aturaka. Ngaye means the held, Dresam means the animal, Jeta means hungry ghost, Aturakaya means a sort of a hungry ghost. It means this thought Sotapanna will never be reborn as an animal, will never be reborn in hell, will never be reborn ghost, because he has uprooted the basic, see, the cause of the basic cause of defilement, which is Sakkaya deity. So he won't be reborn in hell or in any other, the other three old food states. That is And Bhama say, at least you should strive to be to attain the first stage of enlightenment so that you can get rid of these woeful states. Bhama is the Buddha say, time's up. Time's up. May all of you strive for your salvation at least to attain the first path knowledge and get rid of these four woeful states of the world.